Hello, world, huh?
The green jacket is going north of the border. Mike Weir has won the Masters.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow! In your life, have you seen anything like that?
The wait is over for Canadian fans, and the dream is now a reality for Brooke Henderson.
And Corey Connors' day indeed has arrived. He's a winner on the PGA Tour.
A clutch up and down for Mackenzie Hughes. Oh, my goodness.
Time for The Golf Show with Hugh Burrell and Brent Gunning.
Many doubted we'd ever see it, but here it is. The return to glory
on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Well, glory might be too strong a term, but it is a glorious day for golf, a glorious weekend for golf. Happy Father's Day weekend, everybody, and welcome to the Golf Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. My name is Hugh Burrell, joined as always by the so lovely, so talented, the one and only, often imitated, never duplicated, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for none other than the Brent Gunning.
Thank you. Thank you, on the wheels of steel there. Please imitate something else, especially Hugh. You've played golf with me. Don't dare imitate that.
Come on.
As our old buddy Scott Metcalf loves to put it, I sure can slice my way around the golf course. I wish I got around there some other way.
Nobody says you have to play from your own fairway. You just have to play from a fairway. Brent, you are a new dad. Happy Father's Day to you. Are you getting out this weekend?
I am not. Although I have to be honest, I've been thinking about, coworker of ours told me they're sneaking out for a solo Father's Day round early in the morning. And I was like, don't hate that.
Don't hate that.
There is a golf course about 4 minutes from my house. So I might have to just wander by.
Hey,
maybe
say,
I know that's like a big tisk in this time and age, but maybe just wander by. Say, come on. I'm a father. Let me out there.
Just say you're going out for smokes. You'll be back in about 4.5 hours.
Yeah, that's all. I mean, you got to scour the city. You got to get the right brand,
Welcome to the Golf Show, everybody. We're asking you where you are golfing on this wonderful Father's Day weekend. Shoot us a text at 590-590. Let us know where you are teeing them up today. You can hear us on the Sportsnet Radio Network, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, and, of course, here in Toronto, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We have a good show coming up for you in the second half of the show. We're going to bring on our esteemed producer, award-winning producer, Sam McKee. We were talking before the show. He's got some hot/bad takes about Torrey Pines, the site of this year's U.S. Open. And you're going to have to hear these to believe them, folks, seriously. But we'll lead off with Adam Stanley in a couple of minutes from now. But, Brent, I want to get your impressions of the first couple of rounds of the U.S. Open where some guy named Richard Bland leads.
So I'd like him a lot better. Look, if you're a golf nerd, you probably are. If you listen to this show, you know the story. He had the great win on the Euro Tour. It was his first in like 500 starts. He's crying, telling his family about it. It's a beautiful moment. That's all great. Like, look, I'm very happy for Dick Bland. That's great. I don't need him at the top of the leaderboard at the U.S. Open. It's a great story. I'm happy for him, and I hope this is the best he feels all weekend. And I just hope that somebody can mount a charge and give us, because directly behind Bland and Henley, that's not a bad leaderboard. You got Koepka lurking. You got DeChambeau lurking. You got Rahm there. You got Mac Hughes in the picture. I know that, people who are listening to other golf podcasts don't get excited about that part, but I love some Mac Hughes in the picture. Yeah. So, I mean, look, you mentioned our producer. He's going to come on with his Torrey takes. I don't necessarily disagree with them. I think you need some really strong play to kind of make this tournament exciting. And, the guys you've seen it from are Bland and Russell Henley, and you know that's nice. It's good for them,
not
but
sure how much
it's not exactly
needle, though,
exciting
yeah.
people.
Yeah, and you talk about the leaderboard, so let's run down the aforementioned leaderboard of the U.S. Open out at Torrey Pines. Richard Bland -5. He's tied with Russell Henley, also at -5 for the top spot. Right in behind there at -4, a couple of guys, Louis Oosthuizen and Matt Wolf, who's returning to the game after taking a couple of months off to kind of get his head straight. Whatever he did in those couple of months, it seems to be working because he's hitting them well. John Rahm and Bubba Watson. Bubba Watson's up there on the leaderboard. Haven't seen that in a little bit. John Rahm, Bubba Watson, they are -3. Bryson and Brooks, the gift that keeps on giving, they are both at even par. Not playing together today, though, unfortunately. That would have been pretty awesome. And, of course, Mac Hughes -2. Adam Hadwin is even. That's your Canadian contingent that made the cut. Taylor Pendrith +5. Corey Connors +6 are not playing this weekend.
Yeah, the Pendrith thing, I have to be honest, a little surprised. Obviously, anytime you have a guy who just kind of graduated from the Corn Ferry, you know, maybe it's a bit much to expect him to make the cut at the weekend, but just with how big he can bomb it, I did expect him to be, a little bit more of a factor, maybe make it to the weekend, but thrilled to see Hadwin refine his form, and, you know, he's got a little something to play for. There's an outside chance he could force his way onto a potential Olympic team for Canada, so it'll be a fun little battle between Hughes and Hadwin this weekend. And then, yeah, you mentioned all the guys just sitting above them. So again, if there's a little toe stubbing for Bland or Henley, could be a very, very exciting weekend. Or doesn't have to be bad things, could be good things happening to the guys behind them, of course.
Yeah, you mentioned toe stubbing, and as an aside, I had maybe the worst toe stubbing of my life last night. Just as I was sitting down to watch the Habs Golden Knights game. Brent, let's just put it this way. My neighbors in the condo, they heard about it, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, I can imagine. I feel like it's funny you say that. I felt like I heard a yelp around just around that time, and I'm all the way out in Burlington. So, yeah, I mean, it's just the worst, right? Like such a nothing injury. Yeah. Like sometimes you get the like nail that just rips loose. Like something like that drives you
totally
insane.
Your fault.
How painful it is.
Yeah, so one of my toes on my right foot are all the colors of the rainbow this morning. So I'm playing hurt, but that's okay. You know why? Because you guys are worth it. And again, we are asking you where you are playing on this Father's Day. Text us at 590-590. We want to know. Our first guest on the golf show, I'm not going to lie to you. This guy might be on the air more than any of us here. He's a golf podcaster. He's a blogger. He's a writer. He writes for newspapers.
He's a wine expert.
A television host. He's a wine expert. He's probably a damn good golfer. He hasn't invited me.
Actually, on that, I can confirm.
Yeah,
damn
of course
good golfer.
He is. Of course he is. Yeah, because that's all the guy does. He plays golf and he talks about golf. And we are very, very happy to have him once again on the golf show, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Adam Stanley. Adam, how are you this morning?
I'm doing way better after that very kind introduction. Wow. That was sure something. Jeez.
Nice guy.
I was wondering if we were going to start with the with you with your like toe problem that you were posting about yesterday. And sure enough, just get the button gets pressed, and the first thing I hear is you talk about your toe problem.
Absolutely, so. I'm such a whiner, man. I am such a whiner. Adam, let's get into this. Torrey Pines U.S. Open, beautiful course. Maybe not the most exciting first couple of rounds of a U.S. Open, but we have Richard Bland at the top of the leaderboard. So I think you know what's coming here. My question to you, Adam Stanley, who the hell is Richard Bland?
I thought you were going to say the first couple rounds have been pretty bland.
Oh, that's too easy.
Open,
that's low-hanging
fruit. Okay, that's too easy. Okay.
Who is this guy?
So Richard Bland is probably the feel-good story of golf all year long. I mean, you know, we're so used to the storylines being captivating and young guns here, there, everywhere, next generation. You know, Richard Bland could be all these guys' father. I mean, the dude is 48 years old. He won for the first time in 478 starts on the European Tour earlier in May. It was the longest streak of anyone on that tour, a first-time winner, 48 years old. big time emotional video call with his parents after that win at the British Masters in May. And then he backed up that win with a tie for third in his very next event on the European Tour. So something's gotten into him, and it's really, really nice to see. You know, God knows what's gotten into him this week at Torrey Pines, however. The guy is using a three-wood and driver from 2017. The TaylorMade M2 driver and three-wood came out 4 years ago, and that's what he's rocking this week, plus a hat with a duck on it from his home club in England, because he has no hat sponsor. So this is truly a guy who is an everyman, feels like us, is out there just banging around, having himself a time in California. And, a Hollywood movie can't quite write a script like this. But who the heck is Richard Blam? Well, so far, he's the story of the week at Torrey Pines.
He sure is. We're with Adam Stanley here on The Golf Show. And you mentioned his equipment, using that four-year-old driver. What's wrong with that? I use like a 7 or 8-year-old driver.
Yeah.
But I had talked to you earlier this week on the morning show here in Toronto about driving, and will you be able to overpower this course? Richard Bland is 57th in driving distance this week, but he's tied for fourth in driving accuracy. So that obviously is a huge part of why he is where he is. What's your impression going into the weekend? Do you think he'll be able to hang on, or is he going to wake up and go, oh my God, I'm leading the U.S. Open?
I think we might get a little bit of that today, but at the same time, I mean, the guy's maybe gone over the hump of really caring if he's been leading the U.S. Open or not. Like, I think if he was 38 instead of 48, you might still count him as a bit of a journeyman. Maybe he's gone 300 events without winning, and all of a sudden it's like, OMG, I'm leading the U.S. Open. But now that he's 48, he's almost in that, like, well, this is fun, I'm having a good time sort of mode. So he may still be in the mix, but at the same time, you look at the guys who are following him. I think, Hugh, you're absolutely right with respect to, you know, he's hitting it far enough. Fine, 56 in driving distance, whatever, off you go. But the fairway finders, I mean, I think that has been super emphasized this week. Insofar as you look at the rest of the leaderboard, there really is, you know, two bombers in the top 10, Bubba Watson and Matt Wolf. And Bubba's not even as long as he was back in the day. So I think accuracy has certainly been on a premium, or at a premium up to this point. I think the chasers are going to need to have, you know, a big day today for sure, if they want to start jockeying for position heading into Sunday at Torrey Pines, because you know the USGA is not going to make this golf course set up any easier going into the final round of the U.S. Open.
No, it's only going to get tougher. And I don't know that it's going to be a, oh man, I'm leading the U.S. Open. I think it's going to be, oh man, I haven't missed a putt all week. Like I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I was looking at the numbers for Bland's putting, and it's just been obscene. And it's like, look, we all know guys get hot with a flat stick. We've seen it for plenty of different players, and sometimes it lasts 2 weeks, sometimes it lasts 2 months, and you know, maybe Bland can kind of hold it together for the weekend. That's going to be what kind of does it for me. You know, you mentioned Wolf is kind of the biggest bomber among the guys at the top there. You know, obviously he's taken the time away, and you know, that's good on him to get his head right and get himself right and be kind of a voice for that. But it's kind of, you know, nice for him to be reinserting himself into the picture. You know, Morikawa had the win, and because Wolf hasn't been there, Hovland's kind of jumped up, and I think he's almost kind of the forgotten man of that trio that came up. You know, we always heard about Spieth and his buddies, and it's like, it feels like those three are kind of the next version of this, and it's going to be so fun watching them just kind of pass the baton back and forth for the next, you know, decade or two, but with Morikawa, Hovland, and Wolf.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, when I said off the hop that, you know, Richard Bland could be some of these guys' father, like Matt Wolf is example A. Like Matt Wolf is only 22 years old, you know, like it's pretty fascinating to see. But that's golf. Golf is great that way. And I think golf is super hard as well. And that's what, you know, was drawing this emotion out of Matt Wolf earlier on in the week. And it is surprising. I mean, golf is the most, you know, tennis as well. We're seeing it with with some of the tennis players as well. But on the golf side of things, I was kind of surprised, or I am kind of surprised, that mental health doesn't get talked about a lot more. I mean, from a team perspective, okay, fine, if one guy's down, then he's got his line mates or the other guys on the basketball court or the other eight guys on the baseball field that can help pick him up or her up. But when you're looking at the at golf, you don't have anyone to pick you up. If you hit a bad shot, it's your fault. And if you miss a cut, it's your fault. And you can kind of go on and on. And that's a lot of a burden for these guys to hold. And I think Matt Wolf at 22 coming out and saying, I hated golf at the Masters. I hated this. I hated my life as it related to all the money in the world doesn't bring me joy. For him to come out and actually say that, and for him to come out and say, you know, it's okay to not be okay, which is a line that, you know, a lot of people use, and it makes total sense as to why, I thought that was really powerful. So kudos to Matt Wolf for coming out, saying what he needed to say, being open about what he needed to be open about, and then obviously playing super well as well. I mean, the dude made 8 birdies on Thursday, so clearly he's still tightening the screws a little bit, but you know, I just can't say enough about Matt Wolf coming out and talking about the importance of mental health in professional golf, because I don't think it gets talked about near as much as it should.
We're with Adam Stanley on The Golf Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Adam, just to go back to what we were talking about driving distance earlier, I looked it up. Do you know who's leading the field in driving distance so far through the first two rounds?
If it's not Bryson, maybe it was Taylor Pendrith.
No, it's a South African named
yes.
Wilco Nienaber. Oh. Wilco Nienaber. Remember that name, kids. Okay, get this. Round two, his average drive. Average, 361 yards. He's averaging 350 through the first couple of rounds. I bet you he's not using a 4-year-old driver.
the wacky waving inflatable arm flailing tube man. That guy has like the craziest limbs. It's been funny to bear witness to his driving and then Bryson, because Bryson like put on all that weight, both muscle and the other stuff, and just, you know, tried to hack golf basically with, you know, his scientific approach to things. This dude is just a natural athlete. He's tall, he's lengthy, he snaps through the ball like it's nothing. And I think he spoke to one of the journalists at Golf Digest, I think it was Daniel Rappaport, maybe last week, maybe the week before, and the guy was like, yeah, I'm not even trying, really. Like, I don't need to put on weight to hit it farther. Like, I just need to, you know, snap my hips quicker.
I hate that guy already.
Like, this is nuts.
Yeah. I mean, coming from a guy who has no lower body movement at all when he swings at a golf ball, I hate Wilco Nienaber. Speaking of big hitters, the USGA did not pair them together for the first two rounds, and we were oh so close to having them pair up for the third round. Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka, both even par. Again, I said this earlier in the week, they're the gift that keeps on giving. But I did ask you which one of these guys has a better chance throughout the weekend. You said Brooks Koepka at the time. Do you still believe that?
I do, because he gets to be paired with our good friend and Canadian, Adam Hadwin, today. And he's going to be like, oh, this guy's wonderful. What a great Canadian. I'm going to go shoot 66 today. So that's what I think is going to happen from Brooks Koepka. And we'll just kind of see if that comes to fruition over the next 24 hours. But you're right, Hugh. They are the two that just keep on giving. The fact that they both shot even par through 36 holes was like, oh, golf gods, please just give us what we want. But who knows? Maybe we'll get it on Sunday, because the fact of the matter is they started at the same position on Thursday, and here we are on Saturday, and they're still in the same position. So maybe we'll get it in the final round of the U.S. Open, which would be way better than if we got it kind of contrived by the USGA early on in the week. It would be a lot more fun if it was final round action between those two.
For sure it would, and I'm with you. I expect Koepka, and this isn't a knock on DeChambeau. I like his chances as well. He hits the ball a mile, and he's rolling the rock, and if he's going to do both of those things, he has as good a chance. Koepka was just fighting it so much yesterday, and it feels like that's about as bad as he could possibly play in a major. I don't know that we're going to see that again, but, you know, I was sitting there last night going, oh, come on, USGA, come on, Mike Davis, let us have a little fun, pair them together. But then, you know, the sober realizations of the morning washed over me, and I said, no, you know, Christmas wouldn't be fun if I just decided it was Christmas in the middle of November and gave myself a present. You got to wait. You got to earn it. It has to come naturally, organically. So I'm with you. I don't think they, as much as I would have loved it, and it is an entertainment product, and I understand the argument, I don't think they should have been paired together today. Like, if it happened organically, of course they should have. But I don't think that the USGA or the tour should have tried to just make it happen on a Saturday to appease us.
No, I think having it happen naturally is just going to be way better, because it's a storyline that literally everyone is going to be watching all day today. What's Brooks doing? What's Bryson doing? Are they going to get paired for Sunday? So I think that absolutely is something to watch. But oh my gosh, that Colin Morikawa and Justin Thomas group as well. Flush City. Can't wait to see that on TV today.
Oh, that's going to be as elegant a pairing, and it's perfect because it's like they're very similar but also kind of contrasting styles. Like JT just has this violent motion, and it's not out of control by any means, but it's just it's fast, it's thrashing. It's almost like a fish out of water just cutting through everything, and it's Morikawa is just so smooth and graceful. Oh, it's going to be great to watch. One guy we haven't talked about, he was the betting favorite coming in. He would have won the tournament last week if he didn't have COVID or 2 weeks ago. Feels like we're kind of John Rahm kind of floating a little under the radar. Just two shots back. I mean, it feels like if I was to bet on somebody to win the tournament right now, that'd probably be my guy. He's just put himself in such a good spot, and he's, you know, he has better golf to play ahead of him.
It's funny because I think he is flying under the radar, even though he was the betting favorite coming into the week, like you said. And he's, you know, he's very comfortable in California. He's won at Torrey Pines before, and here he is, just two shots back of the lead heading into the weekend. So, you know, you can't deny that, you know, John Rahm is certainly in the mix. John Rahm certainly has not had any sort of mental hurdles to get over this week, being back in action and having to go through what he went through, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And I think it's just going to be one of those days again. Like, it's called moving day for a reason. And if John Rahm shoots 68 today, if he gets to 6 under par, I think if anybody gets to 6 under par today, if they shoot even par tomorrow, they're probably going to win this tournament. So for guys who are closer to the lead, it's not going to be as tall a task as someone who's a little bit further back. I wrote this in my story last night. 23 of the last 25 U.S. Open winners have been inside the top 10 through 36 holes. So we've basically cut the field down to just those guys. And John Rahm, I would say, from the Chasers pack, is absolutely the leader in the clubhouse with respect to guys who can make a move and maybe win this tournament.
Adam, one of those guys right in that mix is Canadian Mackenzie Hughes. Had tied for the best round of the day yesterday at -4. He's -2 for the tournament. Adam Hadwin also made the cut at even par. What did you see from the Canadians yesterday?
I saw from Mackenzie Hughes a guy who had been 0.1% off the last couple of weeks, and now all of a sudden the breaks are going his way. I was texting with Mackenzie's caddy, Jace Walker, a fellow Canadian, last night, and he just said, you know, finally the breaks were going well for my man, is what Jace said. And it was true. Mackenzie kind of alluded to it himself as well. He told me earlier in the week, you know, he's missed the last five cuts all in a row on the PGA Tour. Three of those cuts came by one shot. So he didn't try to reinvent the wheel coming into this week. He knew that, you know, one shot is, you know, a missed fairway or a missed 10 footer. Like, we don't need to go back to the lab and try to figure out absolutely everything that's wrong with me. We just need to kind of stick to the process, as cliche as it may be. It was super true this week. So yesterday, Mackenzie Hughes comes out, makes three birdies in a row in his first three holes with a chip in, makes a 40-foot bomb on number two for a birdie. So, you know, those are the kind of breaks that you need to get in order to contend at a major championship. And frankly, he just wasn't getting those breaks the last month and a half. So I don't think Mackenzie Hughes has done anything all that spectacular up to this point, but you don't have to be spectacular at a U.S. Open. You just have to be steady. At 200 par is an absolutely fabulous position to be in through 36 holes at the major at Torrey Pines. Adam Hadwin, of course, struggled a little bit yesterday as compared to Thursday when he was in red figures. But I mean, that guy's tied for 13th as well, and they're both gunning for their very first top 10 at a major championship. So nice to see from the Canadian fellas through 36 holes.
Thrilled to see it. And, you know, it's funny, with most guys, you make a 40-foot bomb for birdie. You consider that a stolen hole. I don't know, maybe even a stolen par for some guys. But at a certain point, this just becomes a skill that Mackenzie Hughes has in the bag. Like, not to say, you know, he steps up to every 50-footer expecting to make it, no matter if it's a double break or what's going on. But at a certain point, like, it just feels like, you know, some guys have the low stinger. Some guys have the high draw. Mackenzie Hughes has the ability to just roll these long putts. I don't know if it's the way he rolls it. I don't know if it's the way he reads it. But at a certain point, it just, you have to stop going, wow, what a great break for Mac. And I'm not saying you're doing this, but I mean, you hear it on the telecast all the time. Oh, what a great break for Mac Hughes. And it's like, what a great break. This is what he does. It's not a great break when Steph Curry hits a 35-footer. Like, it just feels like this is a part of his game.
It's so funny that you bring that up, because I texted Taylor Pendrith last night and I was like, how does, you know, you played an 18-hole practice round and a 9-hole practice round with Mac Hughes early in the week. Like, how's that guy's game look? And Taylor texted me back and he said, oh man, he was hitting it really nice and making some all caps bombs like he usually does. So it's like, Gunnar, it's like we're recognizing this. We see the highlight reel, but due to our inside the ropes and actually playing alongside Mackenzie Hughes and have for, you know, a decade and a half, like Taylor Pendrith, I mean, it's the first thing he texted me back. It's like the guy's just making bombs like he usually does. So I'm going to have to ask them one time, like, what's the deal with you rolling in putts from downtown Dundas? But yeah, it's another one of those things that just keeps you engaged with watching Mackenzie Hughes, because you never know what's going to happen from him. But the fact of the matter is, the guy's tied for seventh at a U.S. Open, just two shots back of the lead through 36 holes. And that is 1,000,000% something to be excited about, and something that we're definitely going to keep our eyes on through today.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how the Canadians finish up at Torrey Pines. Adam, we are right up against it, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, who's going to win this thing?
I think John Rahm's going to win this tournament. I think John Rahm is just, you know, the redemption sort of storyline. The fact that he's the betting favorite, the fact that he's never won a major before, you know, all these factors are kind of going into a Cinderella-type week with Richard Bland leading through 36 holes. I think John Rahm's going to come out, and I think he's going to do it.
There you go, folks. Adam Stanley says John Rahm's going to win the U.S. Open. Bet everything you have on John Rahm on Adam Stanley's suggestion. Thanks a lot, pal. Really appreciate it. You have the standing invitation on this station anytime you want, man.
Very appreciative, guys. Have a great rest of your show and nice weekend. Thanks.
Thank you.
Adam and sometimes a standing threat. We need you. Come on the station. Sometimes exactly. That. Like, it's both, right?
Yeah. If you're not doing anything, pop on the golf show. That was Adam Stanley.
Quickly, Hugh, you mentioned the bets there.
Yes.
You know, not to pat myself on the back here. And I'm not going to, because I haven't won anything. It's probably not going to pay out. But you mentioned old Wilco, whatever his name is, the South African bomber.
Neighbor. Yeah.
There we go. I threw a little money on him to sneak in the top 20 there.
Oh.
So, you know, I sometimes I just like to brag. I watch a lot of golf. Yeah, not a big deal. Watch a lot of Euro Tour.
You know what? If Wilco can putt at all with that driving distance, he's always going to have a shot. Absolutely.
There you go.
We are asking you where you are teeing it up this Father's Day weekend. Text us at 590-590. After the break, Brent will read some of your texts and find out where everybody's going so far this weekend. You are listening to The Golf Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
On your ways, front way, back way, you know that I don't play. Street's not safe, but I never run away, even when I'm away. OT, OT, there's never much love when we go OT. I pray to make it back in one piece. I pray. That's why I need a one dance.
Welcome back to the Golf Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. My name is Hugh Burrell, joined by Brent Gunning, and we're bringing in the big guns, Gunner. You are a big gun, but this guy might be the biggest gun. I'm not just saying that because he's the producer of the show and he gave us a script that we have to follow, or to call him the biggest of all guns. Ladies and gentlemen, producer Sam McKee, welcome.
Hey, what's up? I'm the Dick Bland of producers.
Took you 48 years to make it, and here you are.
Yeah.
No, you only look 48, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
Hey, watch your language. So we had Adam Stanley on in the first half hour of the show, and Adam, of course, was fantastic, just covering everything from A to Z. A lot of really well thought out insights and opinions and analysis. And now we have you. Boom, 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 boom. Sam, we teed this up.
You got me. I was waiting on every word.
We teed this up before we went on the air, and you have got some interesting takes, not only about Torrey Pines, maybe about the U.S. Open in general. So let's jump in. What is your issue with Torrey Pines? It's the most beautiful golf course, one of the most beautiful golf courses people have ever seen.
Yeah, it's sausage links with a view, boys. Like, it's just back and forth, back and forth. It's like, what's the signature hole? Is it that par three down the hill?
All of them are the signature hole.
They just stole that from Pebble Beach. It's the exact same hole at Pebble Beach. Like, it really, to me, I love it as the Farmers Insurance to have the views, to have it early in the season where you get to look at it and it's like, wow, it's winter here. It looks so nice there. Like, looking at it now, but having it be the U.S. Open stuff, I get the history with, like, one of the more famous major wins with Tiger. Like, we all love it for that. But this course, it's too easy for me. Like, Richard Bland should not be leading a U.S. Open. Like, this guy's just hitting it straight down the middle, dropping darts. Like, there's not enough, like, the rough doesn't even seem thick enough in some spots. Like,
I've never heard anybody say that a U.S. Open golf course is too easy.
It is. Why is he at Russell Henley minus five? Like, I want the leader to be John Rahm at even par. Like, that's what the U.S. Open should be. It should be grinding to break. Like, last year at Wingfoot, Bryson put on a show. He finished, like, what was he, minus six or minus five? But everyone else was not even under par. Like, that's what it should be. You shouldn't have all these people under par. Like, I don't know. I just think that there's just too much room out there. It's a beautiful course, obviously. It's one of the most beautiful spots in the world. But it just seems to me that it's just way too easy for a U.S. Open. That's the way I feel.
So before I say it's too easy, I agree it's played a little easier than I would have liked, but I also give them the weekend to figure that out, and it's like you want to make it maybe a little more playable, a little more gettable to get you to the weekend. But yeah, I absolutely want to see some carnage. The thing I go back to, because I tend to lean more where you're at on this McKee of, okay, Torrey's special, but if Tiger didn't win there 8,000 times and he didn't beat Rocco on one leg, we wouldn't feel the way about it. The way I always feel whenever, and I know it's only the second time they've gone to Torrey for the U.S. Open, but now that we're back here, it's like I just looked it up. Just take a little 8-hour jaunt up the coast and you're at Pebble. Like, that's the part that I can't wrap my head around. It's so similar in feel. It's Pebble without the magic, kind of, and so why would you want that? And you mentioned Wingfoot. The thing I thought was so great about that last year is you have these really unique greens with not tiers, but almost like little pockets of area. Like, there's not one or two tiers. It felt like there were seven or eight on some of these greens, and it just made it so tough. And I don't know that you've seen that with Torrey. Again, I'm always going to give them the weekend to make it tough to get it there. I guess they haven't had the wind, haven't had the weather. I'm with you. I'd like to see a little more carnage. You know, you talked about your boy Bryson. Let's talk about him. He's got off to a, you know, you know me, if there's a place to kind of rub some sand in his eye or do it, I will. But I got to give him credit. He was rolling the rock yesterday. The only thing I won't give him credit on is the I'm not going to say ridiculous because we never saw it, but he got relief after he, like, bonked it past whatever that was, the one signature hole on the course, and then all of a sudden he's back on the green with a par putt because Bryson always has his way with the rules officials. You know, I had to get my dig in there, but talk about your boy a little bit. Impressive second round for him.
Yeah, I'm taking a lot of heat for this. Like, I really, you know, I get a lot of texts that I've kind of painted myself as the Bryson guy, and it's like I didn't necessarily expect it to happen, but I am now. And I don't know, like, I thought he played well. I thought, you know, he doesn't necessarily seem to be happy about anything ever when he's out there. Like, every shot he hits, it's like, oh, gosh, like, what is that? Like, he just seems to be talking to the ball a lot. But, like, I think he's, you know, as in this as anyone is. Like, I really don't think that Russell Henley and old Dick Bland there are going to be keeping this lead. Like, they kept talking about it on the broadcast yesterday about how the Friday round at the U.S. Open is one of the more important ones, right? Like, that if you have a good round on the Friday, it really sets you up well. I think I forget what Zinger said, but there was something about the people that have led on Friday have ended up winning a lot of the time. So I think this will be an exception. I think Bryson's right in that conversation. Like, there's a ton of great golfers between, you know, minus three and even par. I mean, that if it was a harder course, it may be a little closer, but, you know, I love the way Bryson's striping it. God, he's just so sweet when he hits the ball, like the sound he makes. He's on the range in the pitch black, grinding away, grinding to the, you know, just hitting balls as hard as he
possibly. Did you hear what he said after that? Did you hear what he said after that?
No, I didn't. Let me have it. That he just loves hitting balls.
Well, here's the thing. So it's like the guy wants to stay on the range till 3 in the morning bashing balls. Like, I'm not going to sit here and roll my eyes at that. That's fine. You're dedicated to your craft. Said he was using TrackMan because he couldn't see it. Okay, fine. Like, we all want to build a little mythology. I'm not going to put it past him for that. But then he's doing a little walk and talk with some reporter or writer yesterday, and he's like, so what would you get out of the range session? He's like, well, nothing actually came to me in the range session. Came to me in the middle of the night, like in a dream. And it's like, it just always has to be to the next level. It can't just be, yeah, I grinded on the range and found something. Great, okay. Good, congrats. It's like, no, it had to come to him in a dream. He can't just work out at his house. He has to put together a 9-minute hype video of him grilling bacon and watching Fox News while he does it. He can't just have the feud with Brooksy. He has to jump in the background to make sure he's seen in the interview. Like, it just, there's, he always has to go above and beyond. And it's like, if that's the guy he is, okay, fine. It's just, I can't stand it.
Oh, yeah, well, great. Everyone always complains. God, these guys are so boring. They never say enough. And then the second they say something interesting or do something, oh, what a weirdo, what a loser. Oh, yeah, it's the exact same thing. Like, he's a little weird, yeah. But, like, guess what? He's different than all the other, you know, bags of milk out there. He actually goes out there and looks different, does things differently, wears a stupid hat. I love the guy. I just love the way he does
Very
it. It's different.
Hat.
Anyways, go ahead.
I was going to just reset if I can. Wow. You're listening to The Golf Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network, where we've just heard some bewildering takes from producer Sam McKee. Sam, we are talking about Bryson and Brooks. They didn't get paired up in the first couple of rounds. They have the same score, but they're not playing together today, hopefully tomorrow.
That would be lovely.
This ongoing feud, whatever you want to call it, we've asked a lot of people on this show their opinions on it, and is it good for golf? So I'm going to ask you that same question. Do you like it? Is it good for the game the way it's going right now?
I love it. I absolutely love it. I think it's one of the things that, like, kind of, you know, has, like Gunning says, we're golf hardos, you know, like, I don't watch the European Tour like him, but, you know, there's going to be every weekend I'm going to have golf on my TV at some point. And so I think it's that you don't really have to sell us on golf, but I think it's huge for, you know, casuals. Like, I've gotten texts about it from people that aren't really into golf and, like, what's going on here? Is this a real thing? Like, is this a make? What's happening here? Is this wrestling? And I think it's pretty clear who the cooler guy is here. Like, let's not get it twisted. Brooks is definitely the guy that's like the normal.
I wanted to hear you say it.
Yeah. He's like the normal human being. Like, there's no doubt that Brooks is just like the guy that kind of is
the guy
a normal guy.
You want to have a Michelob Ultra with after?
I would
after the
kill
round,
to have
yes.
a Michelob Ultra with Bryson too. Like, oh, I would just love to pick his brain for sure.
See,
like, he's a weird dude, and I would just love to chat with him about life. Like,
yeah.
I, you know, get some Trump takes, which I'm sure he has a lot of. You know, I love Brooks too. Like, I know I'm a bad Bryson guy for saying it, but, like, I think the juxtaposition, we like that word there, boys, of who these guys are is what makes it so great. Like,
yeah.
Brooks is the guy that, you know, is the athlete dude with, like, you know, who doesn't care. He just goes out there, plays fast.
He's a football player who happens
yeah.
to play golf.
And,
yeah.
and Bryson is the guy that cares about nothing else,
yeah.
right? Like, he literally cares about nothing else other than going to the range, mashing balls, going out and playing golf. Like, it's all he cares about, getting bigger. So, like, I think you couldn't have more, like, two more opposite guys
yeah.
that work out perfectly to have this feud. It's amazing. I love it. And, like, the Twitter stuff's corny, but great. You need that, like,
sure. especially in a sport like golf, where you never really see this. Nobody ever says anything. So I'm with you, like you said, we're the hardcore golf fan.
Yeah.
We're gonna watch no matter what. But for those fringe viewers, maybe just like Tiger used to move the needle in terms of, like, I don't really like golf, but I'm gonna tune in to see what Tiger's doing. So maybe you're gonna get that segment of the audience just to tune in to see what's new with these two. I don't have an issue with it as long as it doesn't become contrived like wrestling, as long as it stays kind of organic.
Even if it does. Yeah. Like, I feel like it kind of does, or has already. Like, I don't mind. Like, yeah, people are like, oh, it's corny. Yeah, so is golf. Like, I feel like golf is a pretty corny sport in terms of the dudes that play it. And it's like, yeah, oh, we need some feuds because we got Dick Bland leading the U.S. Open wearing a Grey Goose knockoff hat. Like, you kind of need this sometimes, you know? Like, it's not necessarily always going to be the superstars that are at the top. So you kind of need some other things to draw people in. And I think Brooks and Bryson, even if it is corny, it brings people in.
Well, and that's exactly what you said. And it's like, yeah, sometimes the corny, like sometimes the villain is like a true villain. And it's like Patrick Reed and he's getting into it with fans and he's cheating. Yeah. And it's like that. And sometimes the villain is just like a bit of a nerd. And I remember when somebody asked, it's like, oh, do you think your fans are going to start yelling Bryson at Brooksy? And I heard it. And I heard some of the guys yelling it at Brooks. Oh, hey, Bryson, nice shot. And I'm like, God, what nerds those guys must be. But that's great because I'm sitting there having a thought about something other than, man, there's a lot of commercials while I'm watching this golf broadcast. Like, it needs to be more. I would watch a tour of just Rory's striping it against each other and having their various meltdowns and being so classy. I would watch that, but most people wouldn't. And the other thing, you mentioned Tiger, Hugh. Yeah, this game needs that, but there, it's not happening. Okay, like, it might again, it might. But the closest thing we're going to get to that is a Phil Tiger. And I'm not saying that these two will even be the guy. Who knows? Like, John Rahm, he's going to have an amazing career. We talked about Morikawa and Hovland and Wolf. I don't think it'll be those guys. But who's to say who it will be? But you need a true kind of 1-2 rivalry because there's not going to be that one guy at the top of the sport. We thought it could have been Rory. Thought it could have been Spieth. It's not. It's just not going to be any of those guys. So you need a rivalry.
And there is your rivalry right there.
Right there.
Real or contrived, that is your rivalry. One more break on the Golf Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. When we come back, Sammy will update us on some betting lines for the rest of the tournament. You're listening to the Golf Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Sportsnet 590. 590 The Fan. I only lie when I love.
This Royal Blood. This one right from our technical producer, Derek Brandeo's personal collection. Very nice. Very nice. Welcome back to the Golf Show. A few minutes here to wrap up with Brent Gunning and Sam McKee. Sammy, before the break, we teased some betting lines. If you like to wager a few shekels on the weekend, who you got?
So this is from a very popular sports book, and the betting favorite is still John Rahm at +350, and that makes sense because, you know, he's right there and he was a pre-tournament favorite. If you wanted to bet on the guy who's leading the tournament at this moment, you could get Dick Bland at 33-1, and he's leading the tournament. Mm-hmm. And you could also get Russell Henley at 11-1. So they think Russell Henley has a better chance than old Dick Bland does.
The ones that stick out, who's ever making those odds? That's why.
The ones that stick out to me are Justin Thomas at 25-1, and also Bubba Watson at 22-1, because they're both right in the mix. I love the way Bubba's playing. I don't know if you guys, I know Gunnar did because we were texting about it. I don't know if you saw his post round interview, but he seems to be in a really great spot. Like, I've never seen him be that forthcoming and that like open. And Gunning texts me, he's like, is Bubba Watson likable? ? Like, it was a weird sort of moment for him where I was kind of like,
well, I think we got to let that marinate for a little while.
Yeah.
Let's not jump to conclusions there.
But he seemed to be in a really good headspace, and he was talking about how much it would mean to him. And obviously, like, I don't know, the course kind of suits him. It's open. He can hit his kind of wild banana hooks and like do his crazy Bubba stuff. So I kind of like him there. But betting favorite pre-tournament is still the betting favorite with John Rahm. And I think when push comes to shove, if we're all doing picks here, I think most, you know, gun to your head, you'd probably pick him, right?
Yeah.
I would I would pick Rahm if I had to bet one of those guys. And again, I'll pat myself on the back because I jumped this guy in the tournament. Colin Morikawa, but I'm not actually patting myself on the back because I got the same odds on him at the beginning of the week that he has right now because it's just he's consistent. Well, he's right there. I think he's 2,200. He's right there with Bubba, I believe, at the book I was looking at. So he's a guy, and I'm just stealing Bones' take. At the very end of the broadcast, Bones is like, this guy's going to have a big weekend. If Bones likes him, I like him. So I think Rahm to win, but Morikawa would be my guy a little further down.
Yeah, I'm going to get under the wire with Matt Wolf. He talked about being in a good headspace. This guy is... Went away for a couple of months. He's back. He's playing fantastic
golf. He was striping it yesterday. Yeah. Like, just hitting pure shots all over the place, hitting putts. Like, he is definitely a danger man in this.
He had an eagle look on the last hole, too. Like, he's right there.
All right, lads. A pleasure, as always. You have been listening to The Golf Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Many thanks to our technical producer and music editor, Derek Brandale. Once again, thanks to producer Sam McKee for jumping in. Always a great job. And to you, Brent Gunning, thank you so much. Always a pleasure. Until next time, hit him straight.